happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum, and I am welcoming
Maren Jones, editor-in-chief of Queer 40. Hello, Andy.
Welcome, Maren. Yes, editor-in-chief of Queer 40, queer40.com. Check that site out. I believe you're going to be profiling another guest co-host. Oh, we're not supposed to talk about it. Okay, my lips are sealed. All right. You can guess. But what a difference a week makes. President Biden signed more executive orders this week on a broad range of issues, undoing the Trump evil legacy and restoring LGBT rights, including lifting Trump's ban on open military service by transgender people. What a week.
Hallelujah. And Biden's nominee for transportation secretary has made history at the confirmation hearing. And there's a few other interesting LGBTQ appointments as well.
But leaders of the U.S. Catholic bishops were attacking Biden this week. Actually, they attacked him right on inauguration day, had no class, over his support for LGBT and women's rights.
And we've lost a pioneering AIDS doctor and researcher. Dr. Joseph Sonnabend has died at age 88.
Yeah. He was one of the greats. I knew him well. Alice Hoagland, the mother to gay 9/11 hero Mark Bingham, and an inspiration to gay rugby players worldwide, has died at the age of 71.
And we've lost the fabulous choreographer Bob Avian, who did the steps for A Chorus Line and a number of other terrific musicals.
He did. Controversy has erupted in Australia over an honor for tennis champ and anti-LGBT bigot Margaret Court.
And Adam Rippon is hanging up his skates and writing a sitcom for NBC.
He's a funny guy. I listened to an interview with him, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. So, what a week. I mean, I can't keep up with all the progressive changes that have been made in just a week. Somebody said to somebody in the Biden administration, are you going to do all this on day one to undo the Trump legacy? And he said, no, it'll take us about 10 days.
Yeah, it's terrific.
And come on, the biggest one, I think, in terms of what we cover, was the lifting of the ban on transgender military service, which Trump had done rather impulsively and through a tweet. And now you can serve openly. There were still some transgender people who were grandparented in, who were allowed to stay. But a lot of people were thrown out of programs as they were preparing for the military. They were not allowed to enlist. And now they are. That is done.
That is done. And America can now, you know, proudly take its place alongside 21 other evolved countries from Australia to the United Kingdom who let proud transgender people serve their countries. So I'm very, very pleased. We're back in civilization.
And let's talk about now, of course, these are being done by executive order. The drawback of that is it's not encased in law and they can be rescinded by the next administration if it goes to the right. But I mean, he really targeted racial inequality this week. A lot of programs to do that. Even when they did the COVID briefing today, a lot of emphasis on people of color. He got rid of that 1776 commission, which was sprung on us at the last second, that ridiculous white supremacist document. And he reinstated diversity trainings. Oh, you can train people to be sensitive to each other in the government now. That was good. He's closing private federal prisons. Mm-hmm. He is trying to stop deportations. He tried to put that on pause, but in court in Texas, the evil Ken Paxton, the attorney general there, got a federal judge there. They know who to call to stop that from that order from going through.
Well, I mean, there's so many of these orders that impact our community, because we're an intersectional community anyway that have a lot of beliefs that are quite holistic. And it's so wonderful to see the pipeline being stopped, the gas and oil leasing of the Arctic being put on pause. We're rejoining the Paris Agreement on climate change. These things are very important to me as well as the
world. We're human beings.
We're human beings. We need a planet
like to survive.
That's right. We're not allowed to. I think language matters too. And under the last president, I think we saw the English language completely butchered and weaponized. And it's such a relief now to be able to talk about the coronavirus as a term of science rather than as a racial slur feeding into geopolitical conflict.
Well, we have Jen Psaki. Is that how you say her name?
I believe so.
Jen Psaki is the new press secretary, someone with more than a modicum of intelligence. She's non-psychotic, unlike Kaylee McEnany, whatever her name was. We're trying to forget these people. But she tweeted this week, as a human and American, I have a massive girl crush on Amanda Gorman, who did the poetry reading at the thing. She's 42 years old, former spokesperson for the U.S. State Department, and served in communications roles under President Obama. I think she hedged a little bit when she was asked about abortion. Obviously, Joe Biden is pro-choice. But when she was asked a hard question about abortion, she said, well, Joe is a Catholic. And instead of saying he's totally pro-choice and he'd like to get rid of the Hyde Amendment, which forbids government funding for abortions. Anyway, but other things. But she's a breath of fresh air.
She is. Now, while we're on this topic of religion, just briefly, I mean, you were raised Catholic, right? I'm very interested in Joe Biden's faith and Nancy Pelosi's faith, and I'm hoping that the two of them, as observant Catholics, can help get the religion away from the right wing and right wing abuses, because I think it's important to be able to discuss faith in uplifting terms, not as a way of oppressing other people.
Well, so the head of the Catholic bishops in the United States on Inauguration Day wrote a statement that said Biden has pledged to pursue policies that would advance moral evils and threaten human life, most seriously in areas of abortion, contraception, which everybody uses, marriage and gender, which everybody has. He's concerned about the liberty of the church, what, to cover up sex abuse like they've been doing for decades? But Chicago's cardinal, Cupich, I think his name is, called that statement unprecedented and ill-advised. And most bishops were pals with Trump, like Dolan of New York, totally pals with Trump because of abortion. And of course, all the money that was funneled to the church. But the Washington cardinal, Wilton Gregory, spoke at that wonderful ritual of remembrance that they had for the 400,000 who died of AIDS. So there's a handful of bishops who are trying to be human beings and not just only talk about abortion and gay marriage. So there is some progress. But not much. As I always say about Catholics, until a lesbian can be Pope, you've got some work to do. It's true. I mean, come on.
It's true.
And of course, all right. So what else? Oh, so the other big thing on LGBT rights, and we talked a little bit about it last week, is that he restored the government's position that anti-LGBT discrimination is sex discrimination in all agencies, including education. Mm-hmm. All those agencies, they have to respect this, citing also the Bostock decision.
It's building on that decision, which it needs to do.
Bostock only applied to employment technically, but if you follow it through to everything else, anti-LGBT discrimination is sex discrimination. And then in lifting the ban, he did that in his first meeting mm-hmm. with his new defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, and the chair of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley. You know, he showed who the commander in chief is. You know, they could have done it on anything. I'm doing it on transgender military service. If only Bill Clinton had acted that way in 1993 when he became president. He had promised, I'm going to lift the ban on gays in the military. But what did he do? The general started gathering and saying, oh, no. And this includes General Powell, you know, oh, no, 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 no. You're not going to do this. We're in charge. No, the commander in chief is supposed to be in charge. And he didn't do it. And he allowed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which was a disaster. And he just didn't show who was boss. And then everybody hated him for a while, which is not good.
Look, there's nothing sleepy about this Joe Biden. He is getting this stuff done in a hurry. And it's almost like there's a head of steam that is built up. And he's just, did you see the press briefing where he snapped at a reporter and said, give me a break, man. And I thought, good for you. You have no time to waste. Literally, no time to waste at all.
Which is not the same thing as what Trump did, which was saying, you're fake news.
That's right.
You're not nice to me.
That's right. You're not serving me as a mouthpiece. That's correct.
It was nice to see them talking about putting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill again, getting that rolling, and getting rid of Donald Trump's favorite president on the 20, Andrew Jackson.
That's right.
He committed genocide against the Native Americans.
That's absolutely
slaves.
I really liked the executive orders addressing racial inequity in this country. If you don't think that's a top priority of the last year, based on what's happened in the last year, I think you must be truly insane. And I'm glad that they included recognition of sovereign peoples in that order, yeah.
And he talks about it all the time. When he talks about delivering vaccines, he says to the states and the District of Columbia and the territories and Native communities. I mean, he just talks about it all the time.
Right. Because it's there. It's real. It's part of this country. I like also there were so many memorandums and proclamations and orders that are terrific, including immigration and putting undocumented immigrants back into the census.
Oh, yes. And they appointed, I'm going to find it here, they appointed the person at the National...
Megan Morey, who goes by they, them. It was really wonderful to see them appointed. Megan is at the task force, and they will be getting the census on track so that it really does reflect the composition of this country's people.
Yes, she was in charge of queer census. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I sit corrected.
I know.
Queer the census campaign. They did. All right. And Jill Biden visited an LGBTQ clinic, the Whitman Walker, to discuss her commitment to health care and fighting cancer. This was one of her official acts. I'll go to the gay clinic. And it makes a statement, and it's very important out there. The White House website, speaking of pronouns.
Oh, yes.
The White House website, you fill out the contact form. They ask you what your preferred pronouns are. Megan Morey's preferred pronoun is they.
They, them. Yeah, it's correct. Do you think, speaking of these issues, do you think that the executive order calling for a reevaluation of Trump's housing policies might have a positive impact on transgender people?
I hope so, because, again, I listened to Chase Strangio respond to the lifting of the ban on the military, and he said, we want access to all institutions. We still think the military is terrible, everything like that. But we want much more than just access. We want improvement in all these things, housing, education, all these kinds of things. That's what needs to be done. And Biden is cleaning out the stables at the Voice of America, which was packed. Actually, the guy's name was Pack. Was packed with horrible people who were just totally pro-Trump and reactionary. And they're going to allow them to do journalism again at the Voice of America. And that doesn't mean it'll always be pro-Biden. It will be journalism. It will be objective. Yolanda Lopez is the new acting director. All right, Pete Buttigieg. So Pete comes to his hearing, introduces his husband, Chasten. This is a first at a hearing for a Senate confirmation of someone. And I read that Pete was confirmed in the Commerce Committee to be the Secretary of Transportation by a vote of 21-3. The only people voting against him were Ted Cruz, Martha Blackburn of Tennessee, and Rick Scott of Florida.
Oh, no surprises there. I like what Pete said. I'm proud when he introduced Chasen. He said, "I'm proud to have him by my side, and I want to thank him for his many sacrifices and his support in making it possible for me to pursue public service." And I love that because it's about a partnership, and it's about, you know, having a stable relationship so that you can go on to do your best and do your best for other people. And it's lovely to see those two as role models, I think.
I watched his hearing, and of course, most of the senators were very nice to him because when he becomes the transportation secretary, they're going to have projects in there. They don't give a damn if he's gay. They've got projects, and they want them funded, and they want him to visit their states. But Ted Cruz doesn't care because he's a monster. I mean, really, the guy's a monster. He should be thrown out of the Senate for what he did in the coup attempt. But he starts pressing Pete on, the Keystone Pipeline was just canceled. What about all those good union jobs? Now, this has nothing to do with the transportation secretary. Wanted to talk about it. So Pete doesn't lose his cool, and he doesn't get snarky. He just says, I welcome your support for labor, and we can work together on developing good, clean, green jobs.
What a relief this is. What a relief this is not to have to hear this nonsense about coal, or not to have to hear about fracking as being some kind of future for this country. I really think we're going to miss the boat if we don't get on the alternative energy bandwagon right now. We will be left behind. So thank goodness this is happening.
And they're willing to take on domestic terrorism, which previous administrations, including the Obama administration, I mean, there was a reticence about that. But these are the biggest anti-LGBTQ bigots, et cetera, and they're going to be, and they're the people who staged the coup attempt. All right, some other appointments. Biden's social media is going to be run by a guy named Brandon Cohen of Wisconsin, 26 years old. He said, I saw Biden on Meet the Press when he was about 15, speaking up for same-sex marriage. It's not that long ago. He said that gave him the confidence to come out. That the vice president of the United States spoke up for him, and he worked in the campaign. They've also appointed Suzanne Goldberg has gotten an appointment in the administration. She used to work at Lambda Legal Defense when she was a kid. She's going to be the deputy assistant secretary for strategic operations and outreach at the Office of Civil Rights. She was the founding director of Columbia Law School's Sexuality and Gender Law Clinic. There are others, Robin Sue Frobisi, acting director of HHS's Office of Civil Rights, out of the closet. And Bernie Sanders Mittens.
Well, we need to buy a lesbian.
A lesbian mom and a teacher.
That's right. Isn't that terrific?
Jen Ellis made those swittens. And the inaugural parade featured an all-transgender chorus of Los Angeles. It doesn't get any more LGBT. All right. Congress. Legislation. Democrats really need to get rid of the filibuster. It's being talked about. Some people saying they're still against it. That requires 60 votes on bringing any bill to the floor. And when, you know, now Biden's people say they're going to do this bailout plan for everybody, the new stimulus plan, through the process of reconciliation, where they won't require 60 votes. But the bisexual senator from Arizona, Kyrsten Sinema, said, I will never support getting rid of the filibuster. Why not? Don't you want to do anything?
Well, oh, I love her, but why did she say that?
The excuse for holding on to it is we will be in the minority someday as well. And then we're going to want to use it to stop things. I'm against that.
I see.
Republicans win the Senate. Let them pass their bills and show who they are.
So it's these mythical checks and balances that America has, that this system you have, which is there are these things in place like a popsicle stick that's meant to avert everything crashing down.
For 4 years, we got Joe Biden who can veto anything that's really bad, right? So if Republicans win the midterm elections, and let them pass their bills and Joe can veto the worst of them. But let Democrats do what we can in these 2 years where we've got a majority. Well, we've got 50 and we've got Vice President Harris as the deciding vote. And we can show what we can do, and we might earn the loyalty of people so that they'll vote for us again. It's very rare for the party who has the White House to win midterm elections. It's only happened 3 times since the Civil War. But it can be, and Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, was one of those people. But, you know, we've got to pass the Fair Voting Act that they've got, right? We've got to pass that so that the elections could be fair in 2022, because Republicans are very hard at work doing gerrymandering and things and all that stuff. And we've got, now we've got 4 good chances of pickups in the Senate in 2022. I know you just got over the election. You don't want to think about these things. But, you know, Toomey is going out, Republican in Pennsylvania. Ron Johnson, awful in Wisconsin, is probably retiring. Burr in North Carolina is retiring. And now in Ohio, Rob Portman, the guy with the gay son, right? Republican. He says, I've had it. I'm out. What's his name is looking at that seat, the guy, the horrible guy from Ohio, Jim Jordan, covers up for child molesters. And the Dayton mayor, Nan Quayle, is looking at running in Ohio. That would be great. And in Pennsylvania, that lieutenant governor, Big Jim, John Fetterman, you know, you see him on television all the time with the thing around it, the yellow thing around his neck. He's the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania. He could be terrific. He's a real great guy. Hmm. Now, I want to ask you about this. So Liz Cheney, Matt Gaetz, who's the horror show from Florida, is going to Wyoming to attack her because she voted for impeachment. And she chided him for wearing makeup and said, real men in Wyoming don't wear makeup. Now, it's all very sexist and transphobic and all that stuff. But I just want to say one thing. Mary Cheney is a lot butcher than Matt Gaetz.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that.
My goodness.
All right.
We're talking about legislation and legislators. Did we want to talk about, or have you already talked about, the number of anti-LGBTQ bills that are simmering away? I think there's at least 4.
Go right ahead. It's not encouraging, and they may have more of a chance of passing this time.
Yeah, proposed for this year, we've got 14. I'm just going to go by state. I won't say what the bills are, but we've got Alabama, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, that surprises me, North Dakota, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and Utah. So that's 14. And I think the HRC estimated that about 160 million LGBTQ people and their families and relatives would be impacted if these bills went through this year.
Well, the Human Rights Campaign came out with its State Equality Index. So if you go to hrc.org, and I'll give you the full link if you sign up for our emails, you have to sign up. Go to our website, gayusatv.org, and leave a donation at the door. But I'll give you the full link. They say that 19 states and the District of Columbia are top rated in terms of moving to equality.
There's 27 that are not.
2 are solidifying equality, 4 are building equality, and 25 states are cellar dwellers.
Cellar dwellers.
Well, I call them cellar dwellers. They call them something else. So that is what you can find out what's going on in your state, and you should be. I'm on the HRC email list. They give us a lot of news, and they keep us up to date on these things, and that's appreciated. In New York State, however, they're finally set to repeal the Walking While Trans law. This was passed a long time ago was sponsored by a liberal Democrat who was against streetwalkers. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you pause on the street, if you talk to somebody or you look at somebody the wrong way, you can be arrested. And it's mostly used against transgender women of color who are just talking to their friends and they get arrested on the street. It's an outrage. So our state senator, Brad Hoylman, he thinks he has the votes now to get rid of this. 49% of those who were arrested have been Black, 42% Latinx, again, often for just walking home. So thank you, Brad. We'll get that bill passed repealed from 1976. It's an anti-loitering law. Hmm. Anyway. I see that the New York LGBT Community Center is going to remain closed to the public at least until June 30th. Yeah. I don't know if they'll be able to open it up then. What do you think? How are you doing there in COVID land?
We're only a few blocks apart, aren't we? Aren't we in the same city? It's grey. It's miserable. The city's not itself, but I think we will come back. And I think, you know, it's all about the vaccination rollout, that the minute that we reach a tipping point where more people have it than don't, I think you're going to see a dramatic reversal in the quality of life and life on the street. You know, it'll come back.
I'm supposed to get my vaccine on Friday if it holds out, my first jab. But, you know, it takes at least 21 days or 28 days till the next one. And then you're supposed to wait another 2 weeks. And then you have to hope that the South Africa variation doesn't come in and kill you. So, you know, we're going to have to be on our guard.
Which vaccine are you getting?
I don't know. I'll find out on Friday. I'm indifferent, really. Am I supposed to have a preference?
I think it must be the Moderna one that we get, isn't it?
I'm getting it from the Javits Center from the state.
Right.
I hope. I'm trusting in President Biden continuing the supply. In Puerto Rico, the governor there declared a state of emergency over gender violence. And because there's so many people who have been killed, including, and it includes trans women, but advocates wanted to include all LGBTQ people. But it was a historic move for Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I was condemning the Catholic bishops before, mm-hmm. right? And I said there were a few good ones. Well, a whole group of relatively liberal bishops, Catholic bishops, they signed a statement to our LGBT friends, especially young people, that we stand with you and oppose any form of violence, bullying, or harassment directed at you. Bishop Cardinal Tobin of Newark and Archbishop John Webster of Santa Fe were behind it. The Tyler Clementi Foundation got these bishops to do this. And look, what would really be nice is they say gay love is good, which they won't do, but it is a step and it changes the tone. Okay. Can we go back to Trump and impeachment? Very discouraged by the vote in the Senate. They almost stopped the trial before it started. 45 of the 50 Republicans voted to say it was unconstitutional to even bring this. They've all got their lines. Oh, this is silly. You can't do this. This is vindictive. What about what he did to you? He almost had you executed, you idiots. I mean, come on. But the trial is going to go forward on February 8th, and we will see Trump. One of them arrested this week was right-wing gay Brandon Straka, 44 years old, arrested at the Capitol coup attempt on January 6th. He was charged with civil disorder, disorderly conduct, entering a restricted grounds. He urged the rioters to steal the police shields and bragged about his involvement online and asserted, hey, this wasn't Antifa. This was us. They're so proud of themselves. He was arrested in Nebraska. He was arrested in 2020 for not wearing a mask on a plane. Trump advisors say he's not considering starting a third party, really, because that would be work.
I mean,
he owns the other party. And Mary Trump. Your sister, Mary Trump, our lesbian sister, she said she's considering changing her last name so she doesn't share it with her. And this was her quote, my loser uncle.
I'm change your name, change your fortune. I'm all for it. Really. I think we need to make an app, which is for all queer people, gender non-binary people, transgender people, that we can have a name selector, that if we don't like the lineage, we don't like our ancestry, we don't like what we've been given, pick a new name. I think it's a great thing.
Yes. I always get very, I shouldn't say this. No, I'm not going to say it. Yes, people should choose their own names.
With the Trump impeachment, I personally feel the trial should go ahead, but I really don't like that. That means he's going to get more coverage, that we have to, as journalists, keep covering this. And I just wish he would disappear. I really do.
The only hope is that people look at the evidence, and if Ann were on the show, she's say I'm being naive, but if they present a powerful case, people will see just how deep this was, and they bring in witnesses, and it was awful. And if you don't punish this, folks, well, then you are allowing the coup to continue and saying right. violence is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got to punish it. Now, speaking of violence, there was an anti-LGBT church in El Monte, California, that mm-hmm. got bombed on Saturday morning. The First Works Baptist Church. It had been the target of protests. Now, there were no injuries in this or deaths. Obscene messages were spray painted that didn't relate to its anti-LGBT stance. The church is allied with Pastor Stephen Anderson, who was banned in 34 countries for calling for the deaths of LGBTQ people. So violence begets violence. Don't do it. We don't know who did this, but we're just reporting them. And by the way, a correction from last week. We talked about the death of Stephen Afriat, who died. I said he worked for the first out gay council member in Los Angeles. And I said that that was someone named Zev Yarolovsky, who was not gay. He worked for Zev Yarolovsky. Are you following all this? But he did support the first out gay council member, who was Joel Wax. And anyway, he was an aide to Zarolovsky. Okay, we just want to correct the record. Thank you to our viewer, Craig, who corrected me on that. We have some obituaries to talk about. Can we do that?
Sure.
Joe Sonnabend. I knew Joe. Joe was 88 years old. Joe was essentially the first AIDS doctor. He started seeing this. Remember, the CDC didn't announce anything until 1981. He started seeing it in 79. This is a disease that has a long incubation. And he went to the Department of Health in New York, and they ignored him when he started reporting what he was seeing in gay men. And so he was really the first doctor to see AIDS patients before anyone knew what it was. Before HIV was identified as a cause, he urged physicians to prescribe prophylaxis for pneumocystis pneumonia, which is what was killing people. And the government refused to make it an indication for these men who might have been alleviated or saved, giving them Bactrim. He promoted safe sex before anyone. He took some heat for this because he saw in his practice all these STIs that gay men were getting and that we were getting. He even worked at something called the Gay Men's Health Project, not Gay Men's Health Crisis. I used to go there. You went Sheridan Square, you got tested, they gave you a prescription, they gave you whatever you needed, and you went back out and had a good time, but maybe too good a time. He, with Michael Callan, you've heard of Callan Lord, right? And Richard Berkowitz, they wrote, well, the two guys wrote, and he was the consultant for How to Have Sex in an Epidemic in 1983. This was before we really identified the virus. They had a handle on, you better start doing certain safe things or you're going to keep spreading this thing. He always told his patients that AIDS was not going to be 100% fatal, like any disease. It's not. He got Mathilde Krim involved with the whole thing because he had worked with her on interferon and they thought that might be a good treatment.
He
founded the AIDS Medical Foundation, folded into AMFAR, but he quit AMFAR. He said when they were putting out too much stuff about heterosexuals, he said, come on. He said, yes, there is heterosexual transmission, but you're just doing this. You're overemphasizing it because you want to get money for your grants and all those kinds of things and make everybody concerned. So he was that kind of a principled guy. He was a pioneer in community-based research. He founded the Community Research Initiative, edited the journal AIDS Research, 1983 to 86. Okay. He co-founded the PWA Health Group. I was on the board with him on that. This was to get substances to people when there was no effective treatment. We were putting things out there. Help pass confidentiality laws. They wanted to close his office in a co-op in the village, his medical office, because he was seeing people with AIDS. So he went to court and he won the right not to be discriminated against. He was so much honored. He later moved to London. He made his debut as a classical music composer at the age of 85. Joe Sonnabend, we love you. We had one picture up there with Mathilde Krim and Michael Callan. I hope they got to see that. He was a giant, an absolute giant. Okay. Sorry.
A brilliant polymath and a man of science, and I think his international background really helped, that he grew up in South Africa and studied there and in London. I think he probably had a much more global view of infectious diseases, and a lot of the obstacles he encountered here might have been, you know, xenophobia, homophobia, complete ignorance about international infectious diseases.
Right.
We're still dealing with.
Right. You want to talk about Alice Hoagland?
Yeah. I did not know her personally, but I knew of her, and I knew the impact she had as the mother of Mark Bingham, who was the out gay man who performed a very heroic gesture on one of the flights on the day of 9/11.
1993, which was headed for the Capitol.
That is right.
That was the last attack on the Capitol. He helped stop that on the plane.
He helped avert what could have been a compound tragedy on that day. And he was my understanding is he was a big rugby fan, and he championed championed this international movement for gay rugby players, which, as we know, the rugby league has been quite a bastion of homophobia. And this was one way he could transform it and do good in the world. And his mom, Miss Hoagland, she was a flight attendant herself and became a safety activist. And she basically carried on everything that was her son's legacy after his death, becoming an LGBT activist by accident, if you like.
Well, I mean, the rugby tournament internationally is named after Mark Bingham, and they award the Alice Hoagland Cup.
That's right.
And we have a picture of her with all the ruggers. It was so inspiring for these players to have her around. They loved having her around. She also became an advocate for 9/11 families. And she advocated for airline and security. And she helped sue Saudi Arabia over their role in the 9/11 attacks. So she was quite the hero. Only 71 years old. Anyway. And then on Broadway, Bob Avian, right? Tony Award-winning choreographer with Michael Bennett, who he was good friends with, on Chorus Line, which was a breakthrough. Michael Bennett died of AIDS, but Bob died at the age of 83. He survived by his husband, Peter Pileski, 60 years in the business. He choreographed Miss Saigon, Sunset Boulevard, also the Tony for Ballroom with Michael Bennett. Started as a dancer, choreographed Promises in 1968. He worked on Coco with Katharine Hepburn and Stephen Sondheim's Follies, my first Broadway musical. Oh. Company. He was the son of Armenian immigrants. He loved to dance around the room since he was 11 years old. He said this wasn't particularly embraced in the Armenian for Armenian boys, but he did it with his. He was with his partner, his husband Mark, for 36 years,
and he's got a memoir out, which I think he just had published right before he died. Actually, called "Dancing Man: A Broadway Choreographer's Journey." That would be an interesting read.
Absolutely, and then not a gay thing, but a civil rights thing. Henry Aaron, the baseball player, dying at the age of 86. Now, Henry was arguably the greatest baseball player who ever lived. Not just the breaking the home run record of Babe Ruth, which he held from 1974 to 2007, but the racist abuse that he endured. People were so upset that a black man was going to take a white record. I mean, they wanted to kill him. I mean, these are the forebears of the people who were at the Capitol who were breaking everything up. It's all about white supremacy. And his hero was Jackie Robinson. He had a lifetime batting average over 300, very small group of people. He was an all-star for 21 consecutive season, all-time leader in runs batted in. And he did all this before steroids.
Yeah.
His nickname was the Hammer because he hit so much. But he was really a big nail in the coffin of white supremacy, Henry Aaron. And, you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame had their vote yesterday, Tuesday, to decide who could be in it, the writers. And they kept Curt Schilling out. Now, Curt Schilling was a great pitcher, but he is also a sympathizer with white supremacy. And so they kept him off as he endorsed the coup attempt at the Capitol, Kurt Schilling, and he wants to be in the Hall of Fame. It's got to be somewhat based on character. We're going to talk more about that when we get to international news, which we are at. Why don't we do that?
Well, we're talking about disgraceful athletes. So it was Australia Day yesterday. It's the 27th of January.
Happy Australia Day.
Thank you. But it's a mixed emotional day because January the 26th, 1788, is the day that the British fleet landed on Australian soil, declared it terra nullius, an empty land, completely overrode the sovereign people, the Aboriginals, and made it a white colony and a white prison colony to boot. So when we celebrate Australia Day in Australia and we show our flag and have backyard barbecue, it's a bit like 4th of July meets Thanksgiving, right? It's a day of incredible sorrow for our Indigenous people because they call it Invasion Day because that's what it was. And so there's a lot of controversy around it. We want to move the date. We want to move it off that invasion date so that all Australians can come together and celebrate this country. And there is an award ceremony called the Australia Day Honours in which several people are rewarded for basically their lifetime achievements. And the person that got the top gong was the tennis champion Margaret Court, who is the greatest tennis player in the world. She's won more Grand Slams than Serena Williams and more by far than the two men, Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. But she is a virulent homophobe. What do we do? So there's this outcry.
She's got terrible things. She's not just a homophobe. I mean, she has campaigned against LGBTQ rights, yes, certainly against same-sex marriage, but also against any kind of rights for transgender. Now, she tries to say, what are her quotes? I was just saying what the Bible says.
Right.
I have nothing against people. I love the people, whether they're gay, transgender, whatever they are. Of course, what she's saying is, I just don't think they should have rights or happiness.
It's very strange because she's often denied she said these things, but she has a pulpit. She's an evangelical minister in Australia. That's what she's been doing since she retired from tennis. And she has enormous influence. And I think that, you know, we've got stadiums, arenas named after her. She really... It's really sad because we want to claim her as our, you know, tennis champion, this historic figure, but not if she's going to be a divisive figure. And to wit, three other Australians who won Order of Australia medals this year, actually two.
Or previously.
Yeah. And one previously have handed their awards back in protest because they don't want to be in her company.
It started with Dr. Clara Tuck Meng Su. She's on the left, I believe, in the picture. A transgender doctor who treats the LGBT community. She returned her 2016 Order of Australia medal. And then there was veteran journalist Kerry O'Brien. You know Kerry?
Yes. Yes, I do. He's one of our top journalists in terms of he wins all the awards about, you know, long form stories and broadcasting that are about human rights issues. And the artist Peter Kingston has handed his back as well.
I mean, Kerry said her views, Court's views, are repugnant to many Australians. And this artist, Peter Kingston, said returning his 2012 medal as a member of the Order of Australia, I couldn't think of a better use of the award than to stand up to religious bigotry. What a statement to come out there. It was wonderful. You know, politicians are always very nervous about taking on religious bigotry. Here in New York, they patronize them. They give them money. I mean, the mayor, the governor, the city council members, they go to all these anti-gay churches, and because they're voting blocks, they never take them on. It's just it's one of my...
Yeah, but Court's homophobia is quite well documented. If you've seen that movie, Battle of the Sexes with Emma Stone, she's a character in that film against Billie Jean King. She's really Billie Jean King's true adversary.
Wasn't she the one who lost to Bobby Riggs before Billie Jean King beat? Wasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, she's an extraordinary athlete, and this is an ethical issue for me. How do you, the award yesterday was to recognize her services to tennis as being the greatest tennis player of all time, which she is on paper. How do you separate that from this person who now spreads hate? It's a real horrible question to have to face.
I hate when they say they don't hate us. They just oppose everything that we are, which is terrible. All right, some other international news. In Russia, it was good to see people braving repression and demonstrating and protesting in favor of the opposition leader, Navalny, that things are heating up over there. I hope he survives.
Oh, yeah.
In London. This is we told you about the murder of the Irish dancer, 43-year-old Adrian Murphy. He was killed by a man, Joel Osei, O-S-E-I, who targeted him on social media, drugged him with devil's breath, and it ended up killing him, stole all his belongings, worked with his girlfriend. He was sentenced to life. She's going to be sentenced. He will have to serve a minimum of 32 years. Murphy was a champion, All-Ireland dancer, 7 times, produced and choreographed numerous Irish dance shows and taught Irish dance all over the world and met a very horrible end. Okay. In the United Kingdom also, they had a Cadbury ad featuring the eating of a Cadbury cream egg, where two guys who were partners with each other sort of do it. We have a picture of it, you know, where they, this is the way that Cadbury wanted to celebrate its 50th anniversary. So there was lots of outrage from the right wing, but Cadbury said, "We've always been a very progressive company."
That's right. Why are people so upset? I just don't understand, Andy. Why are they upset by this image?
It's something visceral inside. It's something they're not used to. You know how little they show gay affection in movies. You know, they cut away. They don't give us love scenes the way they give them love scenes, right? That's why I made out with my boyfriend on the show for 5 minutes once about 30 years ago, just to get people comfortable with it. And it was fun.
That's right. You can't be it unless you can see it.
Honduras has proposed a constitutional amendment to prohibit abortion and same-sex marriage and to entrench them so you can't get rid of them. And it passed its first vote in the Congress.
That's a scary thing.
Taiwan is moving to allow international same-sex marriages. The 2019 law only allowed a Taiwanese person to marry somebody from outside the country if their country recognized same-sex marriage, which is kind of weird. So they're going to change that. Romania, the European Court of Human Rights, ruled against them in a trans recognition case. They were refusing to allow a name and sex ID change. I mean, come on, again, lighten up. Treat people like people. And Hungary, the Consumer Protection Authority, now this is a very right-wing country now, they ruled that the lack of a warning in a book on LGBTQI characters violates the rights and interests of consumers. So LGBT groups are going to challenge that in court. All right. I have a little bit of AIDS news. There was a very disturbing report on data on STIs. 1 in 5 Americans has an STI on any given day. Half of them are under the age of 24. In 2018, 26 million newly acquired STIs, 68 million had one on any given day. So the authors of the study are recommending what they have like in England, express clinics for people where you can just walk in, get the test, get the treatment, and get out. That's the kind of stuff that Joe Sonnabend did, and make pharmacies access points for testing and treatment. I mean, do we really want to get these things under control in this country? Anyway.
Yeah, head in the sand and watch out when the pandemic's over. I think a lot of medical people are expecting an explosion in STIs. Once we get out of this thing, I wouldn't be surprised.
Is there an uptick in the pregnancy rate when people are stuck together?
You bet. You bet there is. There is.
Dr. Fauci finally opened up about all the crazies in the Trump administration. He said he never thought about quitting. And then Dr. Deborah Birx, they gave her 45 minutes on Face the Nation to defend herself. And I don't think she did a very good job. I don't you'll think you can whitewash her miserable record. Look, I think Fauci should have spoken up more. Now, my God, you can't stop them. You know, now they let the scientists speak. All right. So now here's a very important story. And our associate producer, Bill Ballman, has been very involved with this. HIV/AIDS advocates are seeking prioritization for people with HIV in getting the COVID vaccine. The CDC has not yet done this. And the governor sort of said he would. And then he said, well, it's not on the list. And so there's a big push on. And originally, they said that the data says there's not much difference, but a new study in New York said that there's a higher rate for diagnosis, hospitalization, and death, up to 3 times higher for people with HIV. So get prioritize people with HIV for the vaccine.
I agree with you. Common sense.
And the FDA has approved the first once-a-month injections to treat HIV. The cost in America? $4,000 a pop, $48,000 a year for a 2-shot combo. That's, I mean, if they don't do something about prescription drugs in this country, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
All right. Entertainment news?
Sure. Oh, one of my favorite people is receiving the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award, Miss Jane Fonda. She's the last link to the old Hollywood studio system, and she's probably the first star. I want to say even she did it better than Elizabeth Taylor, who actually took causes on that made people's lives better. And I think her films are fantastic, but I think she's also being honored for her activism and her philanthropy.
Yeah, people took on causes before that, but they got blacklisted.
But she's consistently, decade to decade, she's found a cause. And the latest one, of course, is climate change. And she's just like, what have I got left to lose? I'm in my 80s. I'm going to do this.
She's 83 years old, and she looks terrific. And her nonprofits include the Georgia Campaign for Adolescent Power and Potential. I used to work on the board of Advocates for Youth, which dealt with teen sexuality and reproductive rights issues and AIDS and all those kinds of things, and did press conferences with her around these kinds of things. She was out there in the campaign for condoms, getting condoms in schools and with kids and all those kinds of things. Her latest book is What Can I Do? My Path from Climate to Action, a cause for which she has frequently been arrested. We have a picture of her there, I think, with Ted Danson getting arrested. She was like arrested every week for a while over there. She is serious. Always has been.
Oh, yeah.
She fought.
Can I tell you my story?
Yes.
Can
please.
I tell you my encounter with Jane Fonda story very quickly? I was sitting backstage with her. Well, near the where you have to go up onto the stage at an awards ceremony. And she was standing right next to me before she went on stage. And she was shaking, and she had her speech in paper, and she was tapping it against her thigh and bouncing up and down. And I said, Jane, are you nervous? And she said, of course I'm nervous. I'm nervous all the time. And I remember thinking, my goodness. And she looked delighted as she said it, you know. And I remember thinking, somebody who suffered from nerves my whole life and had a fear of public speaking, it's so ironic that I'm even doing this. But I thought it's kept her humble. It's kept her connected. Nothing about it is fake. She's a completely genuine person.
Humility means truth. True, not false modesty. She would be at these press conferences around HIV/AIDS issues, and she'd say, that's a question for the doctors. Let them answer it. She didn't like just try to, she certainly didn't try to hog the spotlight. She had the spotlight if she wanted it, but she deferred to experts, which is what's happening with the COVID epidemic now. Finally, instead of having that idiot former president standing there giving out misinformation. Anyway. All right. What else have we got? Star Trek actor Mary Wiseman, 35, said she has dated and loved people of all genders. So that's kind of a coming out. Adam Rippon was on the Carlos Watson show. I listened to this whole thing. He says he's hanging up his skates and writing a comedy TV series for NBC. And he said he also credits a tip from Beyonce helping him to perform at his best. He's living in Finland with his boyfriend now.
Oh, lovely.
And then do we have, well, should we run this trailer? We want to talk about Lady in the Dale.
The Lady in the Dale, I don't know a lot about it, but it's a new HBO docuseries. It's premiering in about 3 or 4 days, and it follows the escapades of a transgender entrepreneur who took the auto industry for a ride by inventing this three-wheeled low-gas car called the Dale.
Henry Ford said, you catch things on the rising tide, you're doomed to success.
She wanted to be known as a trailblazer. As any good criminal, she was thinking several moves ahead.
America in the early 70s, anybody could be anything they wanted to be. I've got a mother of five who's invented the car. Is she famous? No, but she's going to be.
I'm going to knock the hell out of Detroit.
She thought that she would be the next Henry Ford.
It's a situation of David fighting Goliath.
She was afraid of spies from the big three.
There was a briefcase full of cash, and next to it, the .357 Magnum revolver.
It was a house of cards.
Law enforcement agencies start taking a closer look, and the press turned on her and said, this is a scam.
When they couldn't decide if the car was real or not, they started focusing on Liz. She was on trial as a trans person.
When the police started swarming in the house,
they got her because she came back to say goodbye to her kids.
She was ahead of her time. She knew the pain.
She took it upon herself to defend herself in front of the jury. This is a woman who knew how to inspire.
She was one of those people that could sell anything.
The defendant has been charged with a plot to murder some of the witnesses.
It was just crazy. Someone started shooting.
This person was totally unknown until she showed up in Los Angeles promoting a three-wheel car.
Who the hell was she?
People need a hero. That's what America's all about.
Is that what America's all about? It looks fascinating. It looks wild.
It looks wild. And it's like we have Elon Musk now, but I think she really was, Elizabeth Carmichael was one of the first what we call disruptors. You know, she was disrupting an industry and she really paid for it.
She sure did. So what else is going on? We have about a little less than 2 minutes to wind things up.
Oh, what else is going on in my life, Andy, or in life in general?
Yes, in your life.
Oh, in my life. I feel like this has been the hardest year of my life for a number of reasons, but I think it's also been a year of growth and a year of tests, almost like a biblical test. You know what I mean? Like a terrible challenge that if you don't respond to it in the right way, then you're kind of, you know, going to be in purgatory. So I think in moments like this, the universe really, in order to take that, we're going to take a great leap forward after this. But be careful what side you're caught on. That's what I think. So with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, I feel that we've been given a second chance and it's come with a great deal of suffering and sacrifice, but I think it's going to be worth it.
It will. I mean, it's just so encouraging to see human beings taking over all these departments. I mean, the new Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, you know, immediately promising to protect LGBTQ people all over the world with United States policy, whereas Mike Pompeo was doing everything to undermine those things with all this religious freedom crap and things. And again, I'm for religious freedom. You want to believe what you want to believe, you should be able to believe it and practice it, etc., but don't impose your stuff on everyone else. And that's what we're up against these days. And we're out of time. Be well.
You too. Thanks, Andy.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you next week. I hope.